wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see.
This is the Grace and Truth program. And now we continue these messages of the Holy Spirit of God to you through his bondservant, David Brinkman, and the song evangelist, Stan Carey. The right time, when is it? These are days when a race is won and a new record set by a matter of seconds. In the rush of business, the speed of sports, and the hazards on the highways, victory or defeat, gain or loss, life or death is measured by a split second. But there is a matter far more important than the winning of a game or a big profit in business. It involves a precious eternal soul, your soul. Neighbor, hear me good. As certainly as thousands die on the highways because they did not rightly gauge time, they were a half second from clearing the oncoming car. So millions of souls have been lost forever, for they did not act in the right time. The worst tragedies happen in the quiet pews of the gospel tabernacle, or as you listen to the gospel over your radio. For when a convicted soul says to God's Spirit, "Go away, I don't want to be saved now, come back later," that tragedy is rapidly filling hellfire. Were you to cross-examine those in hell, you would find so many who got there just that way. They intended to be a Christian, but deferred the matter until God's patience ended with them and they crossed over God's deadline. To combat this monster enemy of your soul is my message today. There is a right time and a wrong time for everything. I am not naming any certain year in your life, but I want to help you determine the very best time for you to be saved. I will set before you certain big facts to consider, and you must make the decision. No one can make it for you. Ere now, I trust you have discovered yourself in the light of God's Word to be a lost sinner in need of salvation, and you've clearly understood that the only way of salvation is through the Lord Jesus Christ and His precious blood. You also learned that in order to be saved, you must repent toward God and commit yourself in faith to the Lord Jesus Christ. But there you stopped, for you were not ready to become a Christian. Was it that you coddled some love sin, or want to have your fling at the world, or get some easy money, or continue with your evil companions? So you told the Holy Spirit to wait till some later day, but you didn't realize the awful peril in which it put your soul. You are as a man who goes to sleep on the railroad track. So before you get hard to sleep, I want to reason with you a bit. I will show you five things to consider as you decide the right time for you to be saved. Should it be before a life of sin or after it? Before old age or in it? Before the doctor says there's no hope, or after you lie in the hospital under drugs that leave you with no reason? May my five weighty facts help you to make the right decision now. First, you are getting older. You know that. I'm not telling you anything new. But do you realize what that means to you? As you get older, you are more set in your ways. The tiny sapling, so easily bent, with age it becomes a stubborn and unyielding oak tree. And so with you, it is even now so hard for you to make a change. And as the tree gets older, its roots sink deeper and it grips the earth more. So you will find it harder to break from this world. For with years, you are drawn more and more into it. And with age, your heart is hardening toward God. Fresh poured cement is impressed by a drop of rain, but when it is set up, a river could not dent it. So your heart is hardening, and your conscience becoming more indifferent. The skin on your hand once was so tender, but now it is so tough, the callus could break a steel needle. So each year, your conscience is becoming more tough and defiant. Neighbor, face the fact. In getting older, you're more set in your ways, more bound to the world, more hardened toward God, and more indifferent in your conscience. Then consider this. Second, you're going to leave here. Others leave, so must you. Death is closing in on you, and one day death will seize you as its prey and take you into that vast eternity, and you shall never return here. Instead of the dance of the world, you shall leap in the agonizing flames. You are charmed by your love money, as you counted it, of more worth than your soul, but you shall be tormented by God's wrath.
You will reel no longer in the stupor of liquor, but in full consciousness you will suffer the vengeance of eternal fire. As you leave here, you will remain forever, saved or lost, godly or wicked, cleansed or filthy, justified or guilty. For as you lived, so you shall die, and so remain forever and ever. Now, for fact number three, you may suddenly die. Thousands drop dead with heart failure. Hundreds are knocked in the head. Thousands are killed by trains, planes, and cars. Human brains plaster the bridge girders. Human blood stains the highways. The stories of tragedies blacken the newspapers every day, and soon your name may be in the list. You hear the ambulance race by with its awful siren screaming as someone has been rushed to the hospital, and one day you may be that someone. God has been long-suffering with you, but remember, there's an end to the patience and mercy of God. Your heart beats 115,000 strokes a day, 42 million times a year. Your heart goes thump, 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 but one day it will pump its last stroke. You breathe 29,000 times a day, or 10 million times a year, but one day your breath will cease, for that is in God's hand, as the Bible says, God, in whose hand thy breath is, hast thou not glorified? If you were in an electric chair, would you abuse the man whose hand's on the switch? If a man had you covered with two guns, would you curse him? You would be careful how you treated the one who could take your life by the pull of a switch or a trigger. Then why have you so foolishly abused God, your Maker, who holds your very breath in his hands? I've driven cars over 1,000,000 miles, but if they put white crosses on all roads wherever one was killed, most would be afraid to travel the roads. This is a day of sudden deaths. None can be vaccinated and be immune from such grave possibilities. Coming along the highways one night, I saw a car burning in the field. Here's the story. Two men, gamblers and drinkers, came down a hill at high speed, left the road, and as their car turned over, one fell out and lived, but the other was pinned under the wheel of the blazing car. Earlier arrivers pulled him out and laid him on the bank. As I held his hand, I felt his last pulse. As his soul sunk into hellfire, for God has said, the wicked shall be turned into hell. Little did he think his wild night would end in eternity. You may never gamble or drink, but you may die just as suddenly. Now let us consider fact number four. Jesus may come today. The Bible says the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Our Lord himself said, surely I come quickly. And he warned us all, saying, be also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not the Son of Man cometh. If you ask, but where are the signs of his coming? Neighbor, just look all over the world and see the unparalleled moral degradation, from old married people to school children, for the old standard of decency has been junked, and together with this moral shame, there has come a spiritual decline. The real church of Jesus Christ is barely pulsating, while religious rot is preached, printed, and practiced. As people have lost all fear of God and turn away their ears from hearing God's truth, and this too the Bible foretold. And we see earthly upheavals and floods and quakes, in both hot and cold wars and storms and famines, in labor riots and socialism, in man's exploits to inhabit space and in heavenly signs, and not the least, in the rise of the Jew and the revived Roman Empire in Western Europe. Where would we ever end? Happenings around us cry out loudly, it can't be long now, and Jesus will come. Remember, too, that when Jesus comes, the door of salvation will be shut, and it'll be too late forever for you. Now for our number five. God warns you. When the state officer gives you your last warning, you know it is time to observe the law, or else. God, who only knows how near you are to eternity, warns you, saying, because there is wrath, beware, lest he take thee away with his stroke, then a great ransom cannot deliver thee. Neighbor, be wise and do as the Bible says. The prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself. Some careless ones may say, preacher, I heard that years ago. But never were you so near eternity as you are right now. awake to your imminent danger. Consider these five facts and then decide when is the right time, the best time, the only safe time for you to be converted. With these solemn facts before you, you know the right answer to your problem is to get saved today. That's why God says, behold, now is the day of salvation. And the Holy Ghost said, today. But if you hesitate, that old deceiver, the devil, will entice you to go on some more in your sin and with the world. And then he adds, after that you can become a Christian whenever you take a notion to be. That devilish lie ought to make you shudder. Millions in hellfire can tell you what a lie that is. They lived on in sin and thought they could be saved at the last. But when they drew near their end, they found themselves caught in the devil's trap. They could not free themselves, and they died as they had lived in their sins. Neighbor, God means business when he says, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. He means for you to take action as you hear the call of his word. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. God means every word of it. Learn it now, and don't wait till eternity to find it out. God calls, come now. The devil says, wait. I have advised you, but you must decide. Right now, tell God your decision. Whatever it is, tell him the truth. I hope you'll tell God, oh God, I want to be saved right now. I will receive my Savior Jesus Christ to be my Lord, to obey him. Let every fetter be broken. Lord Jesus, I now yield myself to thee to be thine alone. I assure you, you will never forget that decision, and you will never regret it either. It will be the great turning point in your life for time and for eternity. And the right time to make that decision is now, right now. Amen. This is another message of the Holy Spirit of God to you through his bondservant, David Brinkman.